Bo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I am the Wizard of Oz. No, wait, which text is it? You gave me the book here, but it was like six different text.
Not sure, Maharaj. We are reading 9th canto, like Ramayana part. Oh. Ram part, I don't remember.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Puriyas tu bhayo pavane. Puriyas tu bhayo pavane. Puriyas tu bhayo pavane. Divya druma latakule. Divya druma latakule. You got it. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. And surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. So what is this? What is this? This is a story of the characteristics of King Puranjana. So what's it talking about here? The body. Yeah. Let's give you an analogy of the city of 9 gates. Purport. Since the body is a great city, there must be various arrangements, such as lakes and gardens for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which incite sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. The Kasuk body has genitals. When the living entity attains the right age, be he a man or a woman, becomes agitated by the sex impulse. As long as one remains a child, he is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman, although the sense organs are present. Unless the age is ripe, there is no sense impulse, sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse are considered to be a garden or a nice solitary park, where when one sees the opposite sex naturally, the sex impulse increases. It is said that if a man in a solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is considered a brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing or touching or talking with, coming in contact with, or even thinking of the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes what? Sexually impelled. Consequently, a brahmachari or a sannyasi is prohibited to associate with women, especially in a secret place. The shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, it becomes agitated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful woman? Hima nirjara viprushmat kushmakara vayuna chala prabala vitapa nalina tatasampari. The branches of the trees standing on the bank of the lake receive particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountains. In such an atmosphere, even the animals of the forest became non-violent and non-envious like great sages. Consequently, the animals did not attack one another. Over and above everything was the cooing of the cuckoos. Any passenger passing along that path was invited by the atmosphere to take rest in that nice garden. While wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Puranjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. The woman was protected on all sides by a five-hooded snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. The woman's nose, teeth, and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. The waist and hips of this woman were very beautiful. She was dressed in a yellow sari with a golden belt. While she walked here, while she walked, her ankle bells rang. She appeared exactly like the denizens of heaven. God. How about you, God? This is the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How many cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam? Hmm? Yeah. 12. Okay. And the first two are Krishna's lotus feet. The second two are Krishna's legs. Why not? And the fifth is his stomach. It goes like that, higher and higher. Yeah. So it's more and more intense. And 2212, Prabhupada says, one should not dare to recite beyond the first two cantos as long as he's still entangled in gross illicit sex. Right? Yeah. Which is common in the Western countries. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I remember when I was in the university during the Vietnam War, right? And it was this whole, you know, thing of experimenting with different ethical standards and moral standards and Indian philosophy and culture and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and meditation, and, you know, all these things were going on simultaneously. So I was involved in the whole thing there. Then I also tried the Hare Krishna movement. Why not? Try everything else, you know, right? And so I got a book, I read it, and it was very, you know, I understood this is the correct philosophy, correct idea, sure seems like it. So I was associated with the devotees in San Francisco Temple, went there, and then people, I was giving some donations, they were giving me books. And so somebody gave me the third canto. And the third canto is a description of all this licit sexual relations. Devahuti and Karla Muni and their family life and their bed that increased sex pleasure and all these things. Yeah. But if you don't follow all the rules and regulations properly in these relationships, then you go to hell. And there's a description of the Hare Krishna hell. And the Hare Krishna hell is worse than the Catholic hell. Even the evangelical hell, I don't know. They're pretty fierce. It's a terrible place, you know. If you've caused so many horrible things to happen, you've exploited women for sense gratification and abandoned them, you know. And so when you die, all these old envious old ladies come, and you're being drugged to hell by ropes. They attack you and, you know, and torture you with needles and stuff. And that's just the way to hell. After you get there, it's even worse, you know. So I was reading all this, oh my God. It's just like in a car. You're driving along in first gear, it's okay. And then someone says, shift to second gear, and it's a little more difficult, you know. So the first canto, the second canto, the third canto, this is more intense. More intense. So this is the fourth canto. You're already getting this whole story of Paranjana. It's like the third canto, no? There's a description of bodily enjoyment in different ways. There's also a description of hell. After all this, he goes to hell for his list of activities. You know? And it's an analogy. It's talking about Maharaj Prachindi Baharishad. You know? Narada Muni is wandering all over the universe, just here and there. You know, and Krishna directs him to different people. And he preaches. Actually, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam can be taken as an example of Narada Muni's preaching programs. Right? Some people say that's true because it was written by Vyasadeva, who was his disciple. Right? So he's always talking about his guru, and he did this, he did that. So he came in contact with Maharaj Prachindi Baharishad. And he was a very, very elevated person, very, what's the word, like, you know, some kind of, you know, George Bush or something, some kind of like the president of some big company or some big nation. And he was engaged in so many pious activities and taking care of everything and enjoying the situation. And then the brahmanas, you know, the scientists in his community were engaging him in different scientific welfare work. You know, in the modern world, he sacrificed so many animals. He discovered some new drug to cure polio. Was it polio? Yeah, like the March of Dimes. It's still going on. Still marching after 50 years to cure polio. So to do that, they killed so many white rats. Right? When I was a scientist, we used to sacrifice the animals for science. Take their brains out and cut them little pieces like that and look at them. Yes, torture them in electric chambers. That's all that's going on. One experiment was, there was little bars in the bottom of the rat cage, and current ran through them. And it wasn't really, really painful, but it was like, you make your feet tingle. And so the rats had to stay there until they pushed the lever to raise the thing and go to the opposite side, like that. They're being shocked. So Jay Schnitzer, he was a graduate student, was part of his experiment, you know, on rat behavior. And he was there at night working one time, And the university had this automatic thing set up, so at 10 o'clock all the lights would just go off unless you pushed the button like that. So at 10 o'clock all the lights in the laboratory went off. And all the rats, because the lights went off, were running around in the cages like that, you know. So he was there alone in the dark, and all these rats were running around. His mind panicked. They've all got out. They're coming to get me. They're going to crawl up my pant legs. They're going to eat me. You know, like that. So he panicked and fell over a chair and this and that, and knocked into a table. And you know, finally, he turned the switch on, and all the rats from the cage just like looking at him. Like that, you know. So he put some band-aids on and went home, and he had this, you know, bruise over his eye and so on like that. You know, but it's the same thing. It's just it's experiment. You know, it's science. It's animal sacrifice. You know? So Maharaj Prachinya Bharishat was engaged in the same thing by the Brahmanas were advising him to do these technical sacrifices, describing the Vedas, describing the Old Testament, killing animals, sacrificing them. And the Narada Muni's coming to him, you know, oh, hello, oh, great sage, Narada Muni, please come in, have lunch. So he said hello, he was very polite, he was a very pious person, you know, but also he was arrogant, and, you know, below it all, he was very, you know, proud of himself. I was a great, generous person. I'm doing such good for other people. Yeah. So after lunch, Narada Muni said, let me tell you a story. You know? And after lunch, of course, everyone likes to hear a story after lunch. So Narada Muni told this whole story of Puranjana. You know? How he did this and that. He engaged in so many sacrifices of animals for the benefit of his subjects himself and this and that. But because of that, after he died, the animals who were sacrificed came back and attacked him, and, you know, in hell and all these kind of things. And then this happened, that happened, became attracted to his senses and sense gratification, the body. So finally, after the whole thing is about over, Maharaj Prachinya Bharishat asks Narada, Narada, says, yes, Maharaj, I'm Puranjana, aren't I, Narada? Yes, Maharaj. Very clever. But I can see what you're saying is completely true. Minister, come here. He signed a document to his son saying, I'm leaving everything, we're in the Hare Krishna temple. When you come back, you're in charge, don't engage in animal sacrifices, read these books, see you later. That was it. He took off. And then, so many stories, you know, about these different preaching activities, different kinds of people. Hansa Luda told us, the Prabhupada told him that every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you're going to meet people like this, very pious, very, you know, dignified, well-dressed, proud of their tuxedos and their cultures and all these things like that. Well, how do you talk to them? You're going to attract their interest after a good meal, and you know, by being vegetarian, you know. You need to tell them a story like that. You know, they understand the message before they make the mistake of, you know, activating their false ego, right, to reject it. And that is a matter of just like intellectually, but you hear these things again and again, you just different angles, and finally you really start to take them into your heart. Yeah. Yeah. One time in Los Angeles, there was a drama, The Kidnapping of Rukmini. And the devotees organized it very well because Prabhupada was coming, so Prabhupada came and they had a play, and Prabhupada was sitting in the rocking chair. And when the devotee Kalachanji told me that Prabhupada was so enthusiastic hearing everything else and the actors, because of Prabhupada's enthusiasm, were becoming more and more enlivened. To play their parts. And finally, when Krishna got Rukmini on his chariot, all the other suitors attacked him like that to seize her, right? And then Prabhupada stood up and said, and she was not a shy girl, she was Kshatriya. She grabbed the reins and was, you know, driving the chariot while her husband was fighting off these rascals like that. Yeah. And Kalachandra was looking in the Krishna book later on, it wasn't in there. Nothing like that was in there at all. You know. How Prabhupada knew this, you know, but he was saying he was like completely convinced. You know, like that, you know. Then Jayananda told us, the Prabhupada said that, if you just go on chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see pastimes you've never read in any of my books. Like that. There's a process. There's a hearing, and above that we start like filling in the missing spots, you know, by direct perception for the super soul. You know. Yeah. So this, you know, these stories are very, very important, you know. And here especially is describing the body, you know, different aspects of the body, you know. Because it's not, you know, it's subtle. You know, you're talking about here, what's Adi Rasa? Adi Rasa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is it? What is Adi Rasa? Huh? Yeah, the attraction of Radha and Krishna. This is the original flavor, original color, original smell, taste, everything comes from that. It's really things of Radha and Krishna. But it's so pure that it's just like impossible even to compare them or anything in the material world. Completely selfless. Whereas in the material world, everything is completely selfish. Every man and every woman is thinking to exploit the opposite sex, one way or the other. But the Uma, in German devotee, which is one of Hansa Dutta's followers, probably disciples. So when he came to Berkeley, about maybe 5 to 10 German devotees came. So one young brahmachari, Radha Govinda, was thinking about getting married, right? And she was preaching to him. She said, "You know, I advise you not to get married. You know, I know women. I used to be one." Every woman has material consciousness. Is simply thinking, how much can this man work for me? Like that. So I was married, and I worked that man until he dropped. And then I climbed on top of his head, and I was looking around for the next one. So it's a material consciousness, no? For men or women. They're thinking women's going to use her body to exploit a man, and man's going to use his body to exploit a woman. You know? And everybody becomes more frustrated, more angry, not satisfied, and more pressure, and then something else happens. It gets beyond belief. You know? So, yeah, but it doesn't just start, what's the word? It starts subtly. It's the whole point. Because it usually doesn't start subtly. And here it's describing all the different background environments, background arrangements. You know? Like, the guru, the crow, what else? The dog. Dog is our guru, right? It's in the Bhagavatam. How is the dog our guru? What does he teach us? Huh? Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Several things. One thing he teaches us is how to satisfy the necessities of the body without formality. Right? Man and a woman, she has to take a special bath, put on special clothes, special perfumes, this and that. He has to go buy flowers, take a bath, put on a tuxedo, go to a restaurant. It has to be a very special restaurant with a special kind of cloth and the table and this and that and everything else and so forth, so on, so forth, so on. You have to have all these different kinds of sense gratification, right? Sexual sense gratification like that. But usually a dog and a bitch don't do this, right? No? It's kind of a very short courtship usually like that. Sometimes. I actually see there is a complication in that level. Fighting with competitors, lose your ear, right? She's not inclined, so she bites your face. Yeah, but it's just the whole thing. Like that, right? Yeah, there's not so much formality involved. When it comes time to sleep, the dog just rolls around a few times around and goes down, goes to sleep, puts his tail over his nose. Like that. But human beings, there's all these different things to stimulate this and stimulate that, and candles and a half dark environment, violins playing, and So it's all it's describing here. So in some ways, and simultaneously, if you want to have some kind of sexual relations to produce nice children for Krishna, then these things are also essential to produce the proper environment. Devahuti, Satarupa, the wife of Manu, Devahuti, the wife of Kardama, they are both pointing this out. It was not possible to have a family as long as they weren't in the mode of passion. She'd been doing all kinds of austerities to serve her husband. She was skinny, her hair, hadn't taken care of her hair for a long time. So there was no kind of attraction. Vyasadeva, when he wanted to give children to the Kuru dynasty, the same way too, he says, I'll do this, but I don't want to get involved in the more than passion. So let these girls do austerities for 1 year, like that, fasting, praying, so they're completely free from passion, like that. He said, no, there isn't time. He said, okay, all right, I'll come in my tapasya form. So he came before these girls, these princesses were used to having perfume passed below their clothes before dressing, like that, like everything else, you can imagine. So Vyasadeva showed up to become her husband, and he had maggots in his hair, and everything else. He was sitting in the forest like that for months and everything else, and one of them turned white when she saw him. I'm going to have a child by him. The other one, so terrified, she said her servant couldn't face the idea like that. I just closed her eyes like that. So there was no passion involved, no? It's a different kind of child was born. So it's a whole science. We're not, again, this is Yes, it's all very nice. Everything's very nice when it's a proper position. But when we're trying to avoid this, becoming entangled in the body for sense gratification, right, then we have to be careful. All these things start subtly, right? And you're educated, you know the symptoms like that. You know? You're starting to make some arrangements so you can talk with one member of the opposite sex in a little bit confidential place. Oh, he or she's in the kitchen right now cooking alone. Let me go also help. And we're cooking, and what's the next thing happens? We're together, and then we start to talk, and then we start to joke. Yeah. Isn't it? One thing after another, like that. And you begin to see these symptoms. You see, this woo can be dangerous, or can warn somebody else. Yeah, and Maya. Yeah, Maya's out to confuse us all, you know, some way or another. So all the body with all those different aspects of smelling, seeing, you know, hearing, like that. You know, it's all designed to come to this final point, you know, of gross sexual relations, and then, you know, gross degradation of the soul. And then Maya's done her job. Again, you're Fifi and Fido, or whatever, bacteria. So, any comments? Complaints? Question? It's okay. Fourth scan. Pretty advanced.
Since we're talking about this, I wasn't really bringing it up. Since you brought
it
up.
Yeah, I bring it up. This guy over there gave me the verse to read.
So say the Mataji, they need to be protected, so they have to have husbands. So if we have to talk Brahma to our
or brothers.
Yeah, but they
with baseball bats.
My daughters, they're always saying they want to have children. So if they have to have nice husbands, you won't become attached and they can go and do it properly. So there's got to be some instruction on the right way to the wrong way.
It's all here. No. You see, if you find this point is that the bhakti yoga, the acharyas, they pull these things out, Rupa Goswami and others, and give us Nectar of Devotion, books like that on bhakti yoga. But most of Srimad Bhagavatam, from my reading, is this Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. It's how to follow Varna Ashram Dharma for this transcendental perspective. And I'm reading, of course, looking at it as like a man, you know, this and that, everything else. So I notice why there's as much instruction for women as there are for men. I just written today is that women should have to follow chaste ladies like Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. Yeah. And then men have to follow examples like Brahma and Narada. Yeah. And so there's plenty of examples there and stories like that. And there's the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things and how to watch out for this problem and that problem. And most of the gross problems, you kind of avoid those pretty easily in some ways. After a while, you figure out how to avoid these gross problems. But after that, there's so many subtle problems. In feminine intelligence. Right? For example, one guy, two wives, Kastipa, no? Ditti and Aditi, right? And then both, when he comes home after a hard day of austerities, the house is very nice, the kids are clean and peaceful, and he's very happy, and he says, "Oh, my dear wife, what can I do for you?" He said, "Well, since you asked, give me some kind of sacrifice by which I can kill my sister's children." Oh my God, he promised to do it. So he gave her the pumsa of rata, but if she made one mistake, then this would happen. Then Aditi did the same thing, and he gets you get the pyro rata, like that. And then finally, when Vishnu appeared before Aditi, and after doing the sacrifice, he appeared, And she was so overwhelmed with ecstasy and, seeing him and everything else. Her material desires almost went away. But and he said, "I know why you want me to come here. You want to be back. You want your son to be back in heaven, to be temple president, to be, head cook, whatever, pujari and GBC secretary, so you can worship me the way you want to worship me." So you can see two ladies in our movement. Her sons haven't got any political power and everything else, and a lady's son, her sister, co-wives, or can select the outfits and spend $5,000 on Jamastani outfit and Sunday feast, and then she's saying, "Well, I wouldn't miss my dog in this outfit. Look what she chose, all the money spent, and the Sunday feast menu is unfit for a pig, like that." So that grows. It's a desire to serve Krishna, no? Yeah. But there's still this subtle feeling of competition with another devotee and maybe another female devotee, you know, something like that. And then have other kinds of competition. Yeah? So then you pray to God to give you some sacrifice so something will happen, and you know, yeah. You're above these things? No. No, you see the beginning is gross activities for gross gratification. I mean, realize that this is not pleasant. I can gratify my senses in a gross fashion, but then 15 minutes later, you know, I'm feeling miserable and degraded and disgusted and everything else. I ate too much. I did this. I watched some kung fu movie or something, you know, soccer football game. But then there's all these subtle problems. More and more subtle problems. Another one. Kardama, no, Kashyapa. Yeah, Diddy. Diddy again. Diddy has a lot of problems. So she seduced her husband at the wrong time of day to get a child. But why? Because she wanted sense gratification? No. Yeah, because she was feeling a little envious of her. Yeah, envious exactly, but it's kind of neglected. It wasn't very bad at all. In some ways, she should blame Kashyapa for not making an arrangement where she could have children. You know, like that, watching the whole thing. Or else his father should have been giving him advice. You know? Yes, on and on. Yeah, it's on and on. It's full of social stories. Then, a Hindi movie. Swayambhu Manu comes in and sees Uttanapada and says, "Everything okay in the kingdom?" He says, "Oh, everything's okay." He says, "Where's your son, Dhruva, my grandson?" And he says, "Well, he's off in the forest alone. 5-year-old boy, you let that happen, you know?" And then he says, "All this problem is for a good-looking chick." But the Hindi slang is like that. It's just like, you know, it's like, because he's so attached to Suniti. Yeah, that he's just like, Suruchi, that he's just like, you know, neglects his own little son like that, you know, so he's being embarrassed and really, it's like, go find him, take care of him. You know? So the grandfather has to come. Yeah. It's very difficult without extended community, extended family, you know, take care of all these things. We should cultivate these relationships, yeah, very important. Yeah. There's so many stories then, you know, about them. Once you learn them and live them, then family members can also hear them, understand them. Children, especially when they hear stories, you know, they drive them mad for 3 weeks, you know, over and over again. You know, we watched the Sita Ram movie with Devotee and maybe he was Rocky. Yeah, and then we were leaving, and his daughter wanted to say some more, so he picked her up, and we were walking down the hallway out to the car. And for about 10 minutes afterwards, she was just screaming, "Ram, Lakshman, Ram, Lakshman, Ram, Lakshman!" He's carrying her. Ram, Lakshman. And I said, "Stop! Yeah, save me! The demon is kidnapping my father." Yeah. 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 So it's, you know, it's a great, great science, Varna Ashram Dharma. Yeah. And even if we're not trained in this, we make mistakes, then Krishna already knew what was going to happen, most likely. So he already made some plan or some adjustment like that if we're sincere. And if we're just making mistakes because we're stupid, you know, he already sees, okay, this is going to happen. What's okay? All right, that'll happen. I have that instead. Yeah? Okay? Yeah?
I was just thinking, I don't hear much encouragement for good devotees to marry. They're often good devotees are always being told not to marry. Seems like it.
No. Our philosophy is that all the men should stay single and all the girls should get married. The problem is that this is the only flaw in our philosophy. That all the men should stay single and all the women should get married. You know? But you find that in reality, practical reality, is that, you know, there's a variety of some things like that. You know, no, some of the girls shouldn't get married. I mean, they should be vanaprasthinis. You know? It's okay. You go directly from being a, you know, brahmacharini to being married, and that's it. Never have any gross relationships. But, you know, have an emotional relationship. You know, love each other. Okay. You know, that's also okay. You know? That's rare. You know, normally, you know, at least one child, a couple children. Okay.
Yes.
Normally. Normally.
Of course, we won't have any Hare Krishna
children. Yeah. And so normally, you know, all the men should be, you know, we should be Bidaviyas and Narada Muni, you know. But, you know, it's That's kind of rare. It's impossible, most likely. So what happens is that then, you know, we just, you know, the best use of a bad bargain, then, you know, they are encouraged. I mean, I think this is more and more, you know, encouraged to you know, it's gotten more and more encouraged to deal with these things in a more mature fashion. Because in the beginning, everybody's fanatical in the beginning. Because, you know, probably since the beginning, all this impersonalism is there because you don't know how to have personal relationships. You know, so it's like, kind of avoiding all these things or whatever. You know. But now, you know, for example, in some of my disciples come, I want to get married. Okay, seems reasonable. You've been Ramachari for 5 years, this and that. You've really got good perspective on things. And you know, if you're really thinking that, you know, this is, seems reasonable. So, because I'm a sannyasi, I'm not a good ashram guru. And I get perspective, and I say, okay, but you know, start associating with nice grihasthas who are successful, you know, spiritually and materially. And then express your desires, your attitudes, your thoughts, and a thing like that. And they then talk to their wives, and then, you know, there's different girls, you know, might be a similar temperament, idea, whatever, you know. Okay, then. And then in Vedic culture, that thing is arranged, that's it. When you meet. I was actually one Prasad Bandhopadhyay and his daughter was supposed to get married, you know. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. So before I would never meet beforehand, right? Just on the wedding day, first time you meet. But now the modern thing is the two families met and were talking to each other, and the boy and girl were present, but they didn't talk to each other. But they were talking about their, you know, their daughters and their sons, and the mother was saying, well, my daughter is like this and that, and she wants this and that. And I can see the boy is kind of looking over at her, and she's looking at him like, so like, you know, little subtle, you know, communication about things and like that. And then afterwards, they were talking, the families were talking about things, you know, their children, what do you think, astrology, this and that. And it was really a marriage of two families, not a marriage of two people, you know, like that. And they married, you know, and happy. Yeah. So in ISKCON, there's an ashram of what's it called? In Spanish, noviesquedad, which means like novia, sweethearthood, or something like that. Is that, for example, in Spain, okay, if some boy and girl thinking about getting married, there's no proper, you know, big infrastructure to investigate all this. So they have to kind of like do a little bit of investigation themselves. Okay, they can associate in public places during, you know, regular events, where they can't walk off together any place like that, you know. And I think in other countries, a little more, Spain and Spanish are more, you know, formal. So this kind of is kind of developing like that. Actually, some kind of practical way to deal with, you know, our varna ashram dharma, to apply it, and it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult to apply these things, but if you do this, then the spiritual life becomes very easy. You know. Doing all these austerities and the introspection necessary, because it's very easy like that. So, you know, it's science. There's a lot of work to do, right? Investigating, discussing, playing, organizing dramas, literature, discussion. Yeah? And then it expands very nicely. Radhanath Maharaj is saying their program expanded to thousands of devotees because they really took care of the devotees as the first thing. Yeah? And that means all these levels like that. You can talk, you can be a yogi, but if you start expanding into varna ashram dharma, Prabhupada says this is professional devotional service. Now you can actually apply it. Your job is a kshatriya, you should act like this in this situation. That's how you satisfy Krishna. You know, somebody else is, you know, other ashram. Pal's complaining, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't like something.
Sorry?
Yeah. We're just coming back from South America. I guess the last time we were here, we left here, right? We went, took our turn through California, then headed across to Europe and India, then back down to South America. So I'm back again. And you know, a lot of things have happened. Very nice, you know, progress. And can talk about them more. I guess here for a couple of weeks. Maybe you can talk a little later about the schedule and. I guess tonight's the first program today, only one program. I'm kind of recovering. My body is kind of like relaxed from. My Ayurvedic doctor said after this kind of Western travel in this modern world, he said you can't slow down. And if you try to do that, you just blow up. You know? So you got to just kind of go with all the energy. You know, if the airplane crashes, oxygen masks will fall from the sky. Do not congregate near the front door because there's a machine gun there which will kill more than three people, like that. You know? I just think that's all he's got. If you forgot your tickets, that's $18. You know, check out of the I was like, you know, so you arrive like totally bombarded with energy. And so he says like this, you know, you just kind of keep it moving so that it doesn't kill you. And about the third day, you probably can actually relax. And he said after that, then you can start like doing things on the basis of internal motivation rather than the external energy. Very nice, very good Ayurvedic doctrine. And then, but today we have, relax a little today. But tonight's program, mm-hmm. we're thinking about using the, we started off with our Sankhya program, I guess, right?
Yes.
Why not?
Sri Aurobindo is trying to get a projector.
Okay.
If it's not, we can probably do it on the TV.
Okay. Yeah?
So most likely is that we'll be able to find it.
Okay. Then I got to check my English version, but they're using the Spanish version for the past month, couple months. There, to make one small change in the English version. But it's good. It's amazing. I mean, you go from, I wrote it out, and then I made a PowerPoint show which couldn't quite match, and then I had to go to the other side, and then like match up my dialogue with the slides. It's like, this is coming next, I gotta say that. And so now it's finally coming down to the point where, like, you know, it's flowing pretty well, and I guess now's the time to record it. You know, maybe a new DVD kind of. How cats see ghosts. Right? So, if you have any cats, bring your cats tonight. So, Papa's geek. Tiger's mama to geek. Papa's a lot of geek. Okay. Turn lights on the geek. Today we have a calendar session. I read the first verse in the left-hand side of the page.